Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's up? We welcome you into the NFL Fantasy Life podcast. James Coe here with you, joined alongside. Oh my goodness, we got a packed house tonight or today. We got the magical beard of fantasy. We got Matt Franciscovich in the building.
What's going on?
What's cracking? How you doing, pal?
I'm doing great. Had a wonderful night. Some football. We got a bunch more football tonight.
Oh, man.
I got some stories for Daily Daps.
Oh, man.
I'm ready to roll.
We got some football today.
Did you get a lot of sleep last night or something?
None. I got less sleep than I normally do, actually.
He's jacked today. I like it. We got the whiz kid from Wisconsin, Alex Gailhorn. What's up?
I'm excited to be here as well. I enjoyed that preseason game last night. There were some fun players on the field that we've been talking a lot about this offseason.
Yeah. You know, it was good, too, because it wasn't like all the scrubs out there. You know what I mean?
No, they were like their backups still for the moment, but guys like Deshaun Watson and
we saw a
Christian
lot of
McCaffrey
good
and yeah. other guys. Yeah,
we're going to be breaking down the entire Texans Panthers game shortly here. We do got a loaded show in front of us here today. Now, Alex Gailhorn is usually the man behind the glass, but we have a gal behind the glass too.
Well, she's shadowing right now. In 2 weeks, I'll be on.
Is she a shadowy league figure?
No. She has just started here. Oh, she has not,
show
not
yourself.
Anywhere close ascending to the status of shadowy league figure. But Erica is learning the ropes. I mean, they're not very difficult ropes to manage. I mean, if I'm running this podcast successfully for 3 years, I would assume somebody with her capabilities could as well.
Fair enough.
In 2 weeks, I'll be back in the North with the family. And
oh,
such.
The North so remembers.
The North remembers.
MG, my guy, Marcus Grant, what's up?
Today is my Thursday, everyone. I just wanted to put that out there.
It's today also mine.
Is your Thursday.
Today is my Thursday. Okay. Tomorrow will be my Friday.
Okay, good. Perfect. Yeah. We got the Fantasy Maverick, one half of the Fantasy Danger Zone, the creator of the Fantasy Danger Zone. We got Adam Rank in the building. What's up?
What's happening?
How you doing, Bill?
I'm just taken aback by the today is my Thursday.
Right. I'm trying to parse through
rest
that.
Is my grinding. I don't know. It's just kind of one of those things.
Are you dragging today, pal?
Oh, my God. A little bit.
Yeah.
I'll also tackle that in the Daily Daps. Because I know there's a lot of people who now – we're into the serious business of football, and there's games going on.
Oh, yeah.
So I won't filibuster off the top, although I will say – this is football related.
Okay, good.
I'm looking forward because the Bears, if you're watching this before 8 o'clock Eastern, or listening to this, whatever, the
you
Bears
be watching,
will be
on, watching on Facebook
Network.
Live.
Or if you're watching it, if you're watching on Facebook Live, you know that the Bears will be on NFL Network at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. And I'm looking forward to that. And I'm also looking forward to my timeline. Mm-hmm. Being inundated with a bunch of grumpy people.
Oh, I see. Because,
like, no matter what, whatever happens tonight.
How about if they look awesome, though?
It doesn't matter.
Oh,
because then that's it's just preseason. It's preseason. Now we'll go back to massaging Aaron Rodgers.
You're playing third stringers, bro.
Vanilla defenses, huh?
Let's see them against starters.
Yeah, let's see when the season starts. You guys get the Falcons. Let's see.
And then if Mike Glennon makes one errant pass, like, oh, I told you this guy sucked. It's over.
Rank, that is the inherent beauty of the preseason, though.
It is and it isn't.
It's that the fire for the takes has been, been stoked.
Well,
and
know,
the preseason, people just start throwing gasoline onto it.
Sort of like Kal-El and the power of the yellow sun. People have absorbed the heat of the summer, and they are reflecting it back in their
It's a great analogy.
That is very, very good. Although you
Fair
did
enough.
Get me with vanilla defenses. You got me with that.
It's like it's a buzzword cloud that they just
it
draw.
Is. Yeah.
Where am I going to draw from?
Oh, vanilla defenses. He's no good.
These are guys that will be working at Arco next week.
Vanilla defenses might be one of my fantasy teams.
Nice. I like it. Oh, man. What a great show we have.
Oh, with the Packers, though, with their
in front of us
defense.
Here today.
Nitro.
Oh, Texans Panthers. We're going to recap that game. We're going to talk about Lamar Miller. We're going to talk about Run CMC, Christian McCaffrey, Kelvin Benjamin. They had great games. We'll break down what it all means there. We had a recent auction mock draft.
Easy for you to say.
A mock-tion.
A mock-tion, if you will.
Oh, man, mention something.
Boom.
We will recap that and give you some tips and tricks in terms of that format.
I got
Plus,
something
we'll close
on,
out
on
with
that,
daily yes.
on that auction thing. You know what? I'll wait till we discuss that.
No, you
because I have a bone to pick with Marcus.
Oh, you
with
do?
Me.
A little bit.
Right. Wow. Okay. What a tease.
Wow.
Interesting.
What a tease. I'm curious about it.
But we shall start your show, as always, with your top headlines.
The camera highlights in the world of sports.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Whistles go woo!
I like turtles.
We continue to follow breaking news.
Watch the news because I'm a kid.
So y'all need to have your kids, have your wife.
Now, in a normal setting, this would not be your first headline. But when people say people don't care about your fantasy team, they care about my fantasy team. And that's why I'm going to talk about Rex Burkhead.
Yeah. Oh! Wow. That's good stuff.
Rex Burkhead reportedly having an awesome camp thus far. One beat reporter, Rich Garvin of the Worcester Telegram.
I believe it's
Worcestershire.
Whatever.
Worcester.
It doesn't matter.
Worcestershire.
Worcester.
This is the
Worcester.
Quote. It appears Burkhead is on track to be the lead back. Mike Gillisley,
Frank
meanwhile.
Frank is flying to the heavens right now for those of you just listening to the audio podcast.
Mike Gillisley, meanwhile, has been dealing with a hamstring injury that's hampered him all the way since back in the OTAs. How much credence, though, do we give to this report?
I'm old enough to remember when Brandon Bolden was number one on the depth chart. That was Monday.
This is everything.
Yeah.
This is why the guy should go in the first round. It's
ridiculous.
Really, it is ridiculous. But it also, the one thing about the Patriots backfield I think that we need to say is that Belichick makes moves in the offseason that he has a specific purpose for, or that he has a vision for.
Yes.
And none of us know what that is. So it's
to win.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, yeah, it is to win. And I know everybody's trying to find and be like, well, who's going to be the LeGarrette Blount, or who's going to do this? Like, he's changing. Like, that's he's moved on from that.
Yes.
He's finding different ways to win. He's trying to stay ahead of the game. And when we go into the drafts, because everybody just now see, like, well, Gillisley's going to get those 18 touchdowns that LeGarrette Blount left. He's going to play. I'm like, that role is gone. Like, he's eliminated that position, and he's moved on to something else. And when you look at the price, and Burkhead is
he's free.
Cheap. Yeah.
Basically,
I mean,
free.
He's probably on the waiver wire. If you've done a draft already,
yeah, he's
unless, except for us, who are in a 14-team league. But
and we're smart.
Yeah, well, present, I think, is the word that you were looking for. He's definitely worth a pickup. I'm not saying that he's going to go out and have a monster year, but, again, until Belichick puts his cards on the table, we really don't know what game he's playing.
All right, let's talk a little wide receiver news. Martavis Bryant cleared to practice. I guess he's met all those mysterious requirements, I guess.
He's
back. We don't know what that means for the regular season, I don't think. I didn't read the exact all the details, but he's back practicing, and we'll when we get more, we'll give you more. So there you go.
Get on that train.
That's only because we don't have a rocket ship sound for
that. Yeah, right? Or a spaceship.
Yeah, where's the UFO sound? Where's that?
The aliens about to land.
We'll go to New York.
Could it have been something as easy as, like, just somebody in the league office for just spaced on the paperwork?
No, you know.
Oh, man. Yeah. We're supposed to reinstate. I'm like, hey, you know what? He hasn't filled out all the requirements.
Some of the reports I had read were that I guess they were waiting for doctor's notes to finally come in.
Interesting.
Wow.
I don't know.
Were they using Elvis Dumervil's fax machine?
I know.
Facts.
I don't know.
You got a note for that?
All right, so Quincy Enunwa suffered a neck injury. He's going to miss the entire season, man. The entire season.
Ooh.
He's got a bulging disc in his neck. I'll ask you this. People were looking at Quincy Enunwa as a guy that was going to be, okay, let me draft Quincy Enunwa because he's going to be a high-volume guy in what is supposed to be a terrible New York Jets offense.
Right.
So I guess the question still remains, is there a wide receiver that you would draft there knowing that there's a lot of volume up for grabs here? We'll start with you, Franchise.
I mean, I guess the guy I would go to first would be Robbie Anderson because we saw him have some success late last season. Mm-hmm. But I'm not investing anything other than maybe like a 12th, 14th round pick in him. Like, because I have no idea. We don't even know who the quarterback is going to be. So there's no way to really tell. They got our Darius Stewart. They got your boy Chad Hansen there.
Yeah, Chad.
But I would lean Robbie Anderson just because we've seen him do well.
Yeah.
He knows the offense, but it's just kind of a dart throw.
How about it, MG?
Let me think about it. No. Do not want. Do you know, I kind of had a –
but there's so much volume here. There's got to be something, no?
I mean
– There's got to be – there has to be a gem here.
I used to believe –
There has to be.
I used to believe in that, hey, somebody's got to catch the ball theory, but I mean, not necessarily. I mean, you know, Robbie Anderson, you know, if we're talking about him now trying to step up and fulfill the duties of a number one wide receiver,
yeah.
I don't believe that.
No way.
I'm trying to convince people on Twitter that Sherrone Peake is actually a person. So,
oh, yeah.
You know?
He's in wide receivers, am I right?
He was actually quoted this week saying there is a 1,000-yard receiver on the Jets roster right now. He didn't say it was him.
I mean, on top of that, you've
talking
got
about Chad Hansen, obviously.
On top of that, you have the whole quarterback situation
right,
where,
right.
You know, we kind of know what Josh McCown is. There's talk about, you know, what happens with Bryce Petty. There are reports that Christian Hackenberg couldn't even break the huddle. I mean, it is a mess all around.
Yeah.
I want no parts of this.
I think one guy we do need to keep an eye on is Austin Seferian Jenkins.
Interesting.
No.
He's supposedly been dominant in camp. I think he's suspended for the first two games.
Yes.
But if you're in a danger zone league or you're looking for a tight end super, super late, like to back up someone like Jordan Reed or something, take a shot on him because – like you said, someone has to catch those passes.
I feel like he's one of those guys you just put a flag on when you're looking at the waiver wire and be like, I'll look at this.
Hold
guy.
On.
See what happens.
I need to comment on the someone has to catch those passes thing that we've been saying because
sure.
that is not
I don't,
true.
Yeah, I stopped buying into that.
Who led the 49ers in targets last year?
No clue.
Jeremy Curley. You know how many he had? He had almost 24% of the targets.
Okay.
Nobody actually needs to catch passes, or a lot of people can. Like, I want to believe that, you know, like Fox Mulder, I want to believe that there is a fantasy-relevant wide receiver on this offense, but I think right now the move to do is just let it play out and grab somebody from the waiver wire if Sherrone Peake proves he's a real person, if Robbie Anderson falls into all the targets, if Ardarius Stewart like jumps up. But for right now, I'm with Marcus.
Okay.
Keep my hands off this offense.
All right, fair enough. Per Cincinnati.com, Jeremy Hill suffered a significant injury, shoulder injury in week 4 last year, but he played through it and the team never addressed it publicly. In the following 9 games, Hill ran 130 times for just 339 yards.
Wow.
A 2.6 yards per carry average. But this is interesting. Before the injury, 92 carries, 500 yards, a 5.4 yards per carry average. He is expected to be at least the nominal starter when the season begins, and he's in a contract year. I find that note to at least be interesting to me if you're thinking about maybe taking Jeremy Hill late, Adam Rank.
It is interesting, and it is definitely worth taking a flyer on him if the price is right, because obviously the value is there, but all that sounds great, but then why did you draft Joe Mixon? Like, what are you doing? Like, what do you, I mean, obviously the team, like, especially a player like that, it's not like he's so good and has no off-season baggage associated with him. You're like, well, how could we pass? It's very easy. A lot of teams passed on that guy.
Yeah.
But the Bengals were like, we're going to take the PR hit for this to bring this guy in because either they felt that Hill was done. Mm-hmm. They're moving on from him.
They weren't sure about Gio Bernard at that
also,
point.
Also, you right. know, and so those are the bigger issues to me. I know that it's nice that Hill did have a pretty nice little start to his season last year or during his career. But I don't know. I just
you don't
think. I think part of it could have just simply been contracts, not to interrupt. But Jeremy Hill's in the last year of his rookie contract. So if they don't want to pay him up, now they've basically got
a little
his
bit
replacement.
Of insurance.
Yeah.
I have a question. But they also want to see. Yeah, I mean, I guess it all goes both ways.
I have a question. I mean, that obviously seems like it's impactful that he played much of last season with a shoulder injury.
Right.
What happened in 2015 when he had one more carry and nearly 50 fewer rushing yards?
That's a great point.
I'm with you, Marcus. It's a really interesting stat, but I'm still going back and trusting my eyes on Jeremy Hill.
This is 2 years in a row that he has been subpar.
Right.
And, yeah, I don't doubt that having a shoulder injury certainly impacted the way he played, but he wasn't great the year before. So,
that's a good point, too.
Yeah.
That's a very good point, too. We'll stay with the running back theme. Orleans Darkwa. In New York for the Giants.
This guy just won't go away.
He's having a great camp.
Well, of course, The Last Jedi comes out, so why wouldn't Orleans Darkwa? Noted Tatooine evacuee have a great camp.
He's having a great camp, and as of last week, was splitting first-team reps with Paul Perkins.
Is this because Paul Perkins got smashed by Landon Collins in practice?
Did you see that?
I don't know.
Franchise showed us that video this morning.
Leveled.
was like so much disrespect from Landon Collins.
Don't lay
to Paul
out your
Perkins.
Franchise running back like that.
Your franchise running back. The reason I bring this up is because, you know, Paul Perkins is somebody. No offense, but the fantasy hipsters love Paul Perkins. Taking Paul Perkins late.
Sure.
He's from the U.
CLA.
Ask
him MJD.
That's right. That's right.
MJD started that last year. That's why Fantasy and Friends got canceled.
Wow. Frank, do we need to talk about this?
At least it wasn't because of the hipsters.
I'm talked out.
All right, we'll save the therapy session for later.
Yeah, we'll save it. We got to get real football news in. Let's talk about this Giants backfield, because I'm still of the mind that Perkins is the lead
is
back.
Is the guy.
Yeah, that's been the story.
And it's, I mean, it's, I'm, it's a great hit. Like, it's fun to watch that kind of stuff in practice. Because I think because we get more access to that now.
Yeah.
Because I was listening to 570 LA in the radio AM in Los Angeles, and somebody was telling a story about Eric Dickerson that they wanted to get him to catch passes in the backfield, out of the backfield. And the first time they tried that in a practice, a guy named Nolan Cromwell, who I think is a defensive coach somewhere. Actually, I think he's an offensive coach somewhere. Just crushed him, like laid him out. And then Coach John Robinson's like, okay, that's the end of that. We're not doing this anymore. So I think now with everybody having the access to these big hits in practice and stuff, that it makes a kind of a bigger deal. And it's fun. It's fun to look at. I mean, like, look, I'll watch it. But I still think that despite Orleans Darkwa doing well before the games even start, ultimately, Paul Perkins has the talent and is eventually going to win that job.
All right, so there you go. I don't know. For me personally, I don't. Paul Perkins is being taken pretty late already.
Yeah,
he's going in like middle rounds.
Where's he going? Eighth, ninth?
Like seventh?
Oh hell no!
Wow.
Oh hell.
I was just funny enough. Like just the other day, I was like, man, maybe I should start to come around on Paul Perkins because I was reading all those offseason reports like, if he does get the lion's share of the touches, like he could be close to a top 20 back, and then all this stuff happens. I'm like, this is why I wasn't in on it.
Right. Just for the record, Orleans Darkwa's maxed out at 36 carries in a season in 3 years. So
interesting.
He has not had a lot of work.
That's a good point. But also the other threat to Paul Perkins is that Shane Vereen's going to come back, and he tore his triceps twice last year.
Right.
But he has been their primary pass catching back. Yeah. So Paul Perkins isn't a huge guy, so it's not like they're just going to use him as the early down hammer.
Yeah.
So if he's losing some third down or hurry-up work to Shane Vereen, that could take a significant chunk out of his workload / upside.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was thinking. I mean, it's going to be a committee anyways.
Yeah.
And then if Orleans Darkwa is starting to steal, you know,
some goal line touches or whatever.
I don't know, man. I'm not in on Paul Perkins this year. Yeah. All right, let's recap.
Hate is gonna hate.
Let's talk about this preseason game that we had last night. Texans Panthers.
Woo!
I gotta be honest with you, I was entertained in the first quarter. I thought
it was actually kind of fun.
It was fun.
It was good. All right, look, to me, Christian McCaffrey really impressed. Want to get you guys' reaction on Christian McCaffrey on that early part of that game. And we'll start with you, MG, my guy Marcus.
I liked what I saw. I was a little bit surprised they didn't try to target him in the passing game a little bit. I didn't think they'd do anything complex, but I just figured they would try to work that in. So, I mean, that was a minor surprise, not really a big deal. But I think on the whole, I thought he looked pretty good. You know, just some of those first game NFL type jitters I think he had to get out.
I mean, but that's the thing, though. I thought he looked pretty darn comfortable. I was actually really surprised by – well, first of all, I'll say this. I was surprised by how much they had adopted the offense to fit his running style.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they run power already, which is great. And it's great for Christian McCaffrey because they ran power
at Stanford.
But, man, those runs that he had, it looked like he was in a Stanford uniform all over again. I was impressed.
He didn't look out of place. James,
dude, I was triggered big time.
But it was the most impressive thing against the guns. You know, a bunch of dudes will be working at Domino's next week, delivering pizza, driving Uber.
Right.
Oh, this guy looking good. Like, but seriously, he looked like an NFL running back. Like that was the one big takeaway. You're like, yeah, it's not like. Like, I think until we see, like, Donnell Pumphrey go out there, like, and you see something like Jordan, like, oh, that guy's little.
Yeah.
But, like, McCaffrey just
He looked
looks like a runner.
Everyone knocks on his size, but he's
he looked like a running back.
Jeff Schwartz, former offensive lineman, had noted that the Panthers were also running more outside zone with McCaffrey, and that was one of the ways in which he changes the offense. So I think he allows him to be a little more multiple in the way they approach their blocking schemes and stuff because he is such a versatile runner. But I thought he looked great. He showed patience. It looked like he was on the cusp of breaking a couple big ones there, and it was the kind of performance where you're like, man, if he gets 15, 20 touches a game, he should be able to do plenty of damage from a fantasy perspective.
If you take a look at the overall, you know, carries, Christian McCaffrey got 7, and then Jonathan Stewart got 2. You know, I don't know if that holds up during the regular season.
Okay, that's where you can be, like, that's preseason.
Right.
And we want to see this guy. Actually, I think it was Rivera showing everybody, like, hey, we're not going to be afraid to run this guy through the tackles.
Right.
I know everybody's going to go out and be like, well, he's going to be this gadget guy. And Kyle Brandt actually had a great analogy of it on Good Morning Football, where he's talking about how he's a Swiss Army knife player.
Well, yeah.
Ron Rivera just took out the blade and said, "We're just going to cut you. We're not going to pull out the scissors
wow.
or corkscrew."
That's violent.
It wasn't. Listen, football's a violent game.
Yes.
Okay.
So
football is family.
Oh gosh.
I know. Well, listen, some people's families are a little bit more violent.
He did show off his speed on an outside run getting to the edge too, so that was good
that
to
was
see.
That was nice, yeah.
Saw a lot of stuff, man. I mean, we saw pretty much his entire arsenal.
Except catching a pass. I want to see him catch a pass in space and do something.
It's like this guy's good at football.
Yeah.
It's almost
maybe.
Like he's good at football.
Weird. The 8th overall selection in the draft.
Can I ask you this though? Did his performance, you know, change anything in regards to where you would take him in fantasy?
I think he's still going to go too high.
He's going in the 30s.
Oh, right he's now. Going in the second.
Yeah.
When you sit down to do your draft.
Right, he's going
to
go in the second.
You're sitting there sipping on a Fresca, having a good time.
Sure.
Or no, I'm
a
sorry.
A Fresca.
I'm sorry. I saw his
We've moved up to La Croix.
Okay.
He's going ahead of Carlos Hyde, Spencer Ware, Ty Montgomery, C.J. Anderson right now.
I take him ahead of Spencer Ware.
I understand.
I take him ahead of C.J. Anderson.
I take him ahead of C.J. Anderson,
too. Anderson.
I don't know if I take him ahead of Ty Montgomery, although we'll see, I guess, how good Jamal Williams does. But I don't know. To me, it just kind of it solidified, I guess, where he's at. If he's going to go in the late 20s, early 30s, I can get in on that. I can get in. I mean.
But then he's like your RB2.
I know. And I don't know if he's going to – I don't know if he's going to jump into the top 10 RBs, but
– Right.
I don't know. He's got that upside. Why not?
Sure.
I have a hard time thinking this year he hits that upside. I feel his ceiling's a little lower because Jonathan Stewart is still there, and so is that 6'5" human tank Cam Newton around the goal line.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've noted it as well. Look, Greg Olsen, Kelvin Benjamin, they operate in the areas where Christian McCaffrey can be successful as well, right? So – I don't know, but it just – he looked so impressive.
Speaking of speaking of Benjamin, it was good to see him out there.
Oh, yeah.
Stunting on fools, breaking tackles. That one run he had where that quarterback bounced off him, I was like, oh, man, all right.
How about that catch?
Yeah, it was a nice catch, too.
That was unbelievable.
Was
full
catch.
Extension, touchdown.
Well, he's also close to the best shape of his life, guys. I mean,
come on.
He did not look fat.
He is back. He's
he
back.
Not.
He's back close to the weight he played at as a rookie. So
he's been P90Xing it or something.
If Kelvin doesn't rise a lot in ADP from now until the end of August, he's gonna be a huge steal.
Huge value.
Like he'll be a top 20 wide receiver that you can get in like round 8 or 9 right now.
Yeah,
I just
crazy.
Bumped him up a tier.
His
ADP will go up from that.
That
game.
If got a little bit harder because of what happened.
I know. I think I saw Matthew Berry and Mike Clay tweeting back and forth, crying over Kelvin's cheap ADP disappearing after that first quarter. But
no, it's true because we're already seeing him rise on Fantasy Football Calculator. He's going 60 overall on average. So
that feels about right.
Yeah, I think
there.
So, too. I think so, too. I mean, you look at his peer group, Brandon Marshall, Mark Ingram, Paul Perkins.
Please, no. I'll take
Golden
Benjamin
Tate?
Over, like, all of those guys.
Come on, dude.
Larry Fitzgerald or Kelvin Benjamin?
Oh, Kelvin Benjamin all day. Give it to me.
Okay.
Give it to me.
Standard, I'd take Benjamin. PPR, I'd take Fitz.
There you go.
Yeah.
No, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
But Kelvin Benjamin could be a great guy if you get running backs early and, you know, you're trying to load up on that next tier of number one wideouts, like the Benjamins and Fitzgeralds and Stephon Diggs and stuff. He's a great guy to target in that range.
All right, let's talk about Houston. Is there anybody else you guys want to discuss in regards to the Panthers there?
Nope.
I think that's about it, right?
Really, we're going to wax poetic on Damier Bird for the next 15 minutes?
Negative.
I have a treatise written up on Joe Webb, but I'm going to leave it for a future podcast.
Dude, Joe Webb, man, what a great career.
What a great career. Why? Because he's been bouncing around.
James, don't take the bait. Go to the Texans. Go to the Texans.
He's hanging on. Like, that's cool, man. He's getting paid.
Threw a nice pick in the end zone.
Never gets hurt.
Against the fourth stringers.
Never gets hit.
Let's talk about
vanilla defenses.
You go out there and you show out against a vanilla defense, man. You put that on YouTube and you show your grandkids somebody like, look, I was a baller. They'll have no concept of what preseason or the NFL was.
Right.
And
oh, boy. All right, let's talk about the Houston Texans here. And we'll start with Lamar Miller. 2 carries, 0 yards.
Meh.
He's the worst. Caught him.
Sad.
It's not so much.
He did have a long of 3, though.
He had a long of 3. It's one of those things where he didn't need to have a great game, but, I mean, Alfred Blue on 5 carries got 33 yards.
Yeah, vanilla defenses.
Dante Foreman on 9 carries got 76 yards. And Foreman looked great. But, again, he didn't have to come and show out, but I think he had to show something.
It was 2 carries with Tom Savage.
Right, man. Like,
I'm not going to worry about it too
much. He was just stretching his legs.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, if this persists, if we're ending the third preseason game and Lamar Miller has 26 carries for 22 yards, then we might want to worry a little bit. But it's 2 carries with Tom Savage under center. I don't think the defense was respecting Tom Savage, even if it was extremely vanilla.
There you go. Let's talk about the quarterback play a little bit, and as it relates to the Houston receiving core. But Tom Savage started the game. A little bit of a rocky start to start the series, but I thought he came on pretty good late in that first half. So finished 9 of 11 for 69 yards.
Nice.
That's pretty good. It's not bad, right?
It's pretty good.
What's wrong with that?
It's nice.
That's nice.
A lot of people were upset about that one missed throw, though.
Yeah. I gotcha.
I dig that. I really love that part of preseason Twitter. Like, hey, you know what? He let that ball float a little bit.
You know?
Like, you know what? It's like when somebody's live tweeting the British Open or something. Like, hey, Jordan Spieth kind of hit that ball flat. He's kind of fat on that one.
Yeah, a little fat on that one. A little chunky. Yeah, missed it a little bit. No, but Tom Savage, 9 of 11, 69 yards. It's pretty good. I mean, didn't have any touchdowns, no interceptions. So what do we make of his performance as it relates to the receiving core there, Alex Gailhart?
Well, what I was going to make of his performance is I think it's going to be hard for him to hold off to Sean Watson.
Yeah.
Like, Sean Watson came in, was obviously a little amped up, missed a couple throws. Mm-hmm. But he just looked so much more dynamic in the pocket, and he was making quicker reads. Like, that was the thing with Tom Savage that was frustrating, is he looked slow in the pocket, and he looked like he was making slow decisions in the pocket. Like, Deshaun Watson was coming out, even if it was a check down, he was coming out, he was making his reads, throwing it quick. And he also offers that running ability, as we saw on his touchdown. Like, he's got the escapability. I think it's going to be hard for Tom Savage after 2 more preseason games to hold off Deshaun Watson.
Even when he threw one, I think it was a 3rd down, he threw it out of the back of the end zone. But there's just the way he extended the play, moved to the sideline, was
and
buying him.
That receiver had a chance on that one, too.
He really did. And if it was somebody like Nuke Hopkins and as opposed to Curtin Jerk McGee, who's going to be working at a CC's Pizza next week.
And for
you know, it might have been a touchdown.
Yeah, and for a rookie to come in and have 25 attempts in his first preseason game, not throw a pick, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
He threw a few balls away and didn't make mistakes.
He was high on a few.
He missed a couple pretty bad.
I still believe that Tom Savage will be the starter in week 1 for this team, but I do believe that it won't be long before Deshaun Watson's in there.
I mean, Brian Hoyer got the cane pulled on him off the stage after 2 quarters a couple years ago.
But I also think that, you know, because of that, I think Bill O'Brien may be a little more deliberate in what happens just because his quarterback maneuvers have been a cluster the last couple of years.
I mean, they have, but you also got a feel for Bill O'Brien is because he hasn't had a lot of great quarterbacks.
Talking about the disrespect being shown to the kids in this room, these guys can play.
Yes. If he's out there watching subpar quarterback play again and he's got this dynamic rookie on the bench, he's going to be looking long and hard at Watson at number 4 sitting over there telling him to get his helmet soon.
So
Savage was looking a little bit like a guy who didn't want to make a mistake, who was a little too
scared.
He's driving.
That's a good way to put it.
He's driving 60 in the second lane on the freeway.
I got to be honest. It was brought back a little bit of flashbacks. It had the flavor of Brock Osweiler.
Ooh.
I don't like that flavor.
Do you know what I'm saying? A little safe.
Bit of bitter aftertaste.
That's, you know?
That is the salt and vinegar of Savage. Fantasy football quarterbacks.
Savage can, yeah.
No, Savage can toss it.
Salt and vinegar is good. What do you
think? Salt and vinegar is not good.
No, salt and vinegar.
What are you talking about?
Let's move on.
Wait, hold on. Sea salt. Wait, hold on. Yeah, we need to pause.
Salt and vinegar?
Sea salt and vinegar chips?
Don't be this guy.
You're coming down on those?
What?
They're not.
No, it is the best.
Oh, my God.
Is this opposite day?
Wait, no. Did Matt Harmon come into the studio?
I really was.
We don't need a Matt Harmon substitute.
I was
buy
really just
going
to try
super popular and then just.
I was really going to just drop that nugget of information and walk away from it. But now you guys, they
because you said something ridiculous.
They are bitter and not good. Like, why don't you just? You don't drink vinegar. You wouldn't just like. Just
wait. You cannot compare drinking vinegar to eating salt and vinegar.
Yeah, that's a bit of a jump.
They're not good.
It might be your Thursday,
but that
was offensive.
Gallons of salsa? Like, do you go to a Mexican restaurant and just start drinking the jar of salsa?
No, you don't.
Or do you?
Or you don't do you drink it.
Consume
that's,
it. That's, I drink in that's small un, doses on a chip.
That's uncouth. You use a spoon.
True.
What player were we talking about again? It's still Tom Savage.
Brandon Weeden.
We're talking about Tom Savage.
Yeah. Talking about Tom Savage and how, something or other.
Well, this quarterback battle will be fun to watch, but Nuke got a couple catches, looked good.
So let me ask this. If Deshaun Watson, and this is what I have contended, if Deshaun is the starter, I think that's better for Nuke because Deshaun has no trouble tossing it deep downfield and letting his guy go get it.
He did that with Mike Williams for a long time.
Exactly. And for Nuke, that's great for him. You know, you think about the air yards, you think about, I think it'll be a higher quality target that he's going to be getting. I think if he's the starter, Watson is, I think that's great for Nuke Hopkins.
I might feel a little bit, I want to watch some more of both of these guys in the coming weeks, but if the quarterback play is solid, it could swing me around to being more okay with Nuke at his current ADP.
What?
Whereas I said close.
The guy who you just said was the worst player in NFL history on Sunday.
Wow.
Now is all of a sudden going to be worthy. Oh,
wow.
thank you for considering.
Yes.
You know what? Don't draft him.
I said he was the worst player ever.
I don't care if he falls to the ninth round. If he falls to the ninth round, you're still passing on him.
Literally
you've
what
lost,
I said was I'd rather take him
the
as the wide receiver
coach.
17. The Nuke coach. That's good. My briefcase is empty now.
It's empty.
I'm going to open
We've
it up.
Taking and that football away from you.
It's going to be a post-it note of a hand-drawn middle finger.
That's exactly right. Adam Rank nailed it. He nailed it. All right, so there you go. So that's your recap. We have another game today. Man, the preseason.
There's a lot of games.
There's
today,
like
man.
Eight games.
There's like seven or eight. Yeah, like I think we'll have the full.
I like it.
A lot of rookies to watch.
A full Scott Hansen treatment going on.
Okay.
Quad box?
Red zone thing and quad boxes.
Wow.
I don't like it because it's Octobox? Supposed to be the game. The Octobox would be the best.
Ooh, give me the Octobox. But let's talk about this auction draft that we had. It's an auction draft mock that we did. You could find it on NFL.com/fantasy. MG, I think you wrote the recap on this.
I did.
Let's start with you. Give me your impressions of basically what happened there and give me a tip that you can pass along to somebody who might be new to this format.
My big tip about this, it's always try to be patient. And I say try because it's hard because a lot of times you'll see a player get nominated and you'll really want that guy. Maybe you've been targeting him in a more conventional draft and it's somebody you really, really want. And I think a lot of times you kind of get in the moment and you get a little fired up and maybe you spend a little bit too much. And I think about our pal Denny Carter who joined us and he went out and spent $11 on Eric Ebron.
Like
which
pretty early.
Fairly early, right? And you thought, okay, well, if Ebron's 11, then some of the other guys are going to go for, like, big, big money.
Right.
Except none of them did.
Yeah. Jordan Reed, Travis, or Greg Olsen, and I think Jimmy Graham all went for
$9. $9.
Right. After $9. After Ebron went for
right? And so it's like one of those things where you feel like in the moment maybe you are getting good value, but, a lot of times, especially certain positions, quarterback and tight end especially, you can wait. So
there you go.
Yeah, that was my one regret from my team was actually buying Tom Brady at $20. I'm not like – I don't think it ruined my team by any stretch, but I was kind of in the process of upbidding him for other people, and then it stopped at 20 and I won him, which I was like, okay, that's fine. But I would have liked to have a little more money to work with to go after some other wide receivers because I like my wide receiving core, but there's no standout guy in it. I have a bunch of kind of tier two wide receivers on there, and had I had that extra, $15 to work with had I waited and got a quarterback like Tyrod Taylor or Jameis Winston or Matt Stafford or something super late, or Andy Dalton, I would have been in a little bit better shape. But, I mean, I got Danny Woodhead in this auction, so if we played this league out, I would win anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, right. No regrets.
No regrets.
Let me.
That from that movie with Jason Bateman?
Yeah. Yes.
That's a Meet the Millers.
Yeah. Meet the Millers. Or We're the Millers.
An underrated film.
Jason Sudeikis.
Sudeikis is great. And
let me.
What did I say? Jason
Bateman.
Yeah, well, Bateman's Sudeikis. With Jennifer Aniston in the rest of her movies.
Yes.
Right.
I'm sorry. It was the one time.
Let me throw out one Facebook Live question for you guys here.
Sure.
Richard Campa asks, anyone okay with taking Carlos Hyde in the fourth round? Good price?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yes. Totally. Yeah.
I think the reports out of camp have been positive the last couple weeks after
an
entire offseason of negative reports.
Right.
And apparently he looks like the best player in the offense, and he's in a contract year, and I think you know, in Kyle Shanahan's offense.
He legitimately might be.
I think he's going to surprise a lot of people.
Of his life.
Yeah.
He legit might be.
He definitely is.
He said he's in the best shape since high school, right?
He's lost that much weight.
Lost
he's
a bunch of weight.
He's apparently shredded.
He's gone vegan. So. I don't know. I'm joking about that.
Everyone's going vegan, so I don't know.
People should, though, man.
Now I have two
Except
things.
For fish.
Two questions I want to ask regarding this auk draft. James,
yes.
You left this mock with like $38.
Yeah, what the?
What happened?
WYD, bro.
Here's the thing. No, seriously, though. My auction draft was trash.
Why was it trash? What can our listeners take away from your auction draft?
Well, so here's my thing is
$46 bucks on Mike Thomas.
Here's what not to do.
Yeah, this is what not to do. Well, look, my whole thing was okay, I wanted to wait. Be patient.
Yeah.
You know, when Lev Bell's going for 70 or whatever,
right.
David Johnson going for 75 or whatever it might be. I was kind of just sitting back and chilling out and saying, okay, well, I'm just going to get a bunch of, $20 to $40 guys because that's my general approach to auction. And really, I try not to overspend on quarterback either unless you're in one of those, 6-point touchdown leagues. But I don't know. I just kept – I kept missing out. And I didn't want to overpay. And as a result, by the time it got to a point where I could spend and wanted to spend, I realized – my error was that everybody I wanted was gone.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, man, I'm not going to lie. I'm looking at
happens.
Your roster.
That
and,
a lot.
Oh, dude, listen, my team was absolutely
This looks
garbo.
Like a 2-14 fantasy.
However, straight garbo. Geez.
What I would like to point out, though, is that you did manage to nab Matt Ryan
for
$3.
Yeah.
Wait, you paid $12 for Marvin Jones?
Because, again.
And franchise, that was the third most he spent on a wide receiver.
Wow. I mean, it was a
I spent $21 on Tyrell Williams. Not that I wanted to. It's because at that point in the draft,
you
I had need, all
yeah,
this
you,
money.
You outbid me.
Nothing I could do.
You
right.
jump.
Right.
Well, and so rank then. You said you had a bone to pick with Marcus at the top of the show.
I did. Well,
let's
let
get
me,
to it.
Let
let's
me
pick
tell
those
you,
bones.
Well, I want to, first of all, let's acknowledge my squad.
Okay.
Because I also like to find the value in the quarterback position. And I set budgets for every slot, put values on certain players. And personally, I'd rather walk out and spend $3 on Matt Ryan, maybe even spend $1 on somebody like Sam Bradford or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to sit there and allow Aaron Rodgers to get away for a value in the 20s. Like,
right.
that's just not going to happen.
Right.
My mistake was
right.
what I try to do is
bid up.
$29 and that somebody will have to take the 30. And somehow I got convoluted into my bid was the $30 one, which I knew would have been a threshold for a lot of people. And I should have just let it go. But I stopped. I'm like, whatever. Like, I got Aaron Rodgers for $30.
That's
I had him valued at $35. So I'm like, okay, so I'll probably end up overspending on a receiver like A.J. Green.
Right.
And that's fine because I still felt that even though I spent more money than I wanted to at quarterback, I'm still ending up coming in under budget.
Yeah.
And things like that. And look, when you're doing these drafts, go look at the drafts that you do last year in fantasy football and realize how volatile it is and how much changes.
The draft is just the beginning.
It's just the beginning. So, you know what? And unless the salary cap is locked in for the entire year,
yeah.
like, dude, I'm gonna get a first team of studs, and then I'm throwing a buck on everybody else.
Right.
I'll probably be dropping these dudes.
And that's exactly what you did.
So what I did
is spent a buck on Cameron Brate, Jonathan Williams there in Buffalo, Breshad Perriman. These are all $1 guys. I like what you did.
And then Robbie Anderson and Ardarius Stewart, which I thought –
maybe
myself.
Somebody comes through.
One of them might come through.
I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah.
But Marcus had to point out, like, hey, Rank did this. before he couldn't allow me to just be like, hey, look, he had a little foresight. He's like, no, make no mistake. He made bad picks that ended up working out for him. And you know what? That was a little hurtful.
Okay, now
I did like that you tried to rectify it with the acknowledgement of the Austin Hooper for a buck. But that's akin to being like, hey, you know what? You're a huge scumbag, and I don't like you.
Wow.
You have nice shoes.
Wow.
Like, I was like, that's just uncalled for. It seems it's so aggressive.
Really?
Like, why is he so aggressive to me?
He's complimenting.
It was hurtful.
This was the quote from the article.
I was in the fetal position for an hour.
We held this draft before Quincy Enunwa suffered a season-ending injury, and now ranks speculative drafting of Robbie Anderson looks a whole lot better.
So he's saying the blind nut finds a squirrel, everyone.
Wow.
That's basically the translation.
I think you're overreacting a little bit.
Me?
Yeah.
I underreact to stuff.
Can I just say,
I'm stoic like Seneca the Younger, okay? And
what?
This hurt. Read a goddamn book.
I just read the internet.
Oh my God.
The rails were off. Then.
Can I just say you brought up a good point earlier about how
but I nullified
that,
it.
Just a strategy thing here. I think people don't realize how much you really have to pay attention to every player that's nominated in an auction, because like you said with Aaron Rodgers, you didn't want to let him get away for too little.
Yeah.
So if you think a guy is getting someone's going to get an elite player for, you know, less than his value, that gives, if they do win him, that gives them an advantage going forward to get spend more money on players. You want that guy to max out what he's paying for that top guy. Yeah.
That's what makes this fun.
Right.
Right.
Right. So he can't have that advantage later on. So you pay attention. If a guy like OBJ is only going for maybe like 35 bucks, bid it up, and worst case, he ends up on your team.
Yeah, you end up with him.
Like, best case, someone pays maybe a dollar extra than he should have because you were in a war.
It's a good point, too, Francis, not only being cognizant of who's nominated, but also like who's bidding and what their team looks
like.
Because if you realize like, oh, like James really needs a wide receiver here, like I'm going to bid him up.
Right.
Like, you know, all the good wide receivers are gone and he's going to want this last like tier one wide receiver. I'm just going to keep driving that bid up because I know he's going to have to go for it. I don't want to let him get it as a value.
The reason I love auction drafts is because of this. You have to be so much more engaged.
Yeah.
And I know it takes a lot longer. You know, it's going to take you a minimum of 3 hours. But those 3 hours are so intense and they're so fun.
You can't even get up and go to the bathroom.
You can't.
Oh, it's crazy.
It's crazy.
You have to pause the draft.
That's not really a selling point.
No, I know. It sounds like it's not.
It is, though.
But, you know, it's like a great movie, though.
Right.
Right? Like, let's say you go to a 3-hour epic, like Christopher Nolan film. I mean, you don't have time to go to the bathroom, man.
But you can't miss anything.
You do if you download the Run Pee app that tells you what part of the movie you can get up and go to the bathroom.
That's
what?
A real app?
Is that an app? That's amazing.
That is a thing.
That's great.
I want to add in one last piece of advice for when you're doing an auction draft is you have to manage the tilt, because now, unlike in a snake draft, you actually get a shot at every player.
You're
going to lose out on more guys that you want. Like, the sniping feels much more frequent because you're going to be in heated bidding wars and somebody's going to take you out. So you have to get beyond that and always be looking to the next player and how else you can build your roster, because it happens so much more quickly than in a snake when, you know, you pick with the third pick and then you got to wait, you know, 14, 16 picks before it comes back to you on the other way around. You have to be much, much more focused and able to bounce back quicker.
Yeah.
All right. So there you go. I really enjoy this format. If you guys haven't done it, please do it at least one time, just because it's so different than your typical snake.
And by the way, full recap, NFL.com/Grant. It's one of his most recent stories. You can see all of our teams, how much we spent, and Marcus breaks it all down there.
So there you go. All right, so.
And tries to steal my soul.
And steals your soul.
Nice shoes, though. Nice shoes.
Dirtbag. So, again, we got Listener League signups going on right now. How do you go about doing this, right? So you got to subscribe to the podcast, you've got to rate the podcast, and you've got to review the podcast. If you do those three things. Now, and here's the thing. I get that folks have been hitting me. I listen to it on Spotify. I listen on this. And I can't rate it. And I can't review. Guys, Google it. Just Google it, or I know this is crazy, but you can download another app.
What?
Rate it on there and then delete the app.
I know this is crazy, And you don't want to download extra apps.
It's like three extra clicks, James. Man, God.
You're out here living in 3017.
I'm just saying, if you really want to be – this is my thing. Do you really want to be in this league?
How bad do you
Good
want
point.
It?
Good point.
You know what I'm saying? It can't be that easy.
Yeah.
If you really want to be – find a way. Find a way. And stop at-tweeting me. Just find a way.
If you do, have a subscription review attached to it.
Please, screen grab it, send it to us, let
we
us
will
know.
Look, we will try to look at all the platforms, but that's getting them right in front of our faces certainly helps as well.
That's what it is. So, again, please, if you got questions, I'm not Google.
We got to start adding guys to these things quick, though. We're going to have to do drafts in a couple
of
weeks.
Are we ready?
Are
we not
ready?
Google. We're going to have to do
to
like,
add somebody
we're going
to
have
danger?
To add like 7 people a week here.
We're going to – are we ready?
Are you ready?
You guys still have to figure out rules for your league.
Yeah, we haven't figured out rules.
We haven't figured out scoring systems and stuff. 18-team,
2-quarterback league.
Wow.
We're not doing 2-quarterback. We are doing 6-4, though. We're going to go 6-4.
245?
No. 6 points for the touchdowns, 4 points for any turnover.
Any turnover.
Oh,
any
my
turnover.
Heaven.
Ooh.
Danger zone.
But that's why we're going. But that's why I want to
you know
do.
What?
That's I'm why gonna, I want to do single.
Other than working out their personal problems right here.
How about
right.
this? 6 points passing touchdowns, positive 1 point for interceptions, which means Jay Cutler. You're
found it. No, he's Blake, not going to throw that many with Adam Gase.
That means Blake Bortles.
Blake Bortles,
is coming off the
QB1.
Board. Yep.
Let's go. All right, but we'll figure all these things
we
out.
Need
but again,
an Adam Gase.
This is how you get into the listener league. Subscribe, rate, review, do it. And remember, fantasy season is here. Keep the game at your fingertips with the NFL Fantasy app.
Boom.
Draft live, manage your team anytime, anywhere. Visit NFL.com/fantasy and get started for free.
That thing's getting a lot better. We've
cool.
seen a lot of the updates this offseason and
the app?
Such. The
a lot
app,
of cool
yeah,
new
a lot
features
of cool new
there.
Features.
Okay.
You know
the
what?
Lazy Man, optimize your lineup. They've got cool new stuff for the game centers, showing you if your guy's even on the field.
Okay.
So, like, say you're stuck at a wedding or something and you're watching your thing, you don't have to tilt knowing whether or not Mike Evans is going to be getting targeted in the red zone. The app will tell you if he's on the field in the red zone or if he's not.
I don't know. I feel like that's going to add to the tilt when you see that the
well,
when you see that a team is in the red zone and you're like, why is my guy not on the field?
Or but then if you think he's on the field and he's not catching passes, you're like, why aren't you throwing it to him? At least now you know, like, oh, you weren't on the field.
In the middle of a wedding,
if you're
just
not,
like Mike Evans.
If you're not getting emotional,
who's at a wedding? During the football.
There are plenty of fall weddings.
They're ridiculous.
Oh. I don't agree with
I've
them,
been
but
to
they
one.
Exist.
I've been to one that not only was a fall wedding, Sunday,
yes,
no open bar.
Ooh. Wow.
Not even. Not
are you
even
still friends with these people?
None. I swear to God, don't talk to them.
But it's
not even, because that's what I do.
Why couldn't it have just been a budget-conscious wedding?
Well, then fine. Here's what I do when I show up to a wedding. Right. I've got 2 gift cards.
All right.
One's for $250.
Yes.
One's for $50.
Uh-huh.
And open bar with high end alcohol.
Uh-huh.
Here's $250
Boom.
Bucks.
Yes.
Beer and wine. Here's $50 per person.
I see.
If my wife's with me, then it'll be.
I see. Good.
Good to know.
And if it's
cash bar.
And if it's cash bar or just no like
just
I'm
the
stealing
single?
Stuff.
Oh,
I'm taking it.
This centerpiece coming out.
I'm breaking all of them.
What if it's beer and wine and 2 specialty cocktails?
Oh, that's full.
All right.
You're a full gift card.
Franchises is
full
basically testing the waters.
Yes, no, that's
wedding.
Weddings aren't cheap.
What if? No.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, should we get out of here?
Yes, Daily Daps, and let's do it.
Extra, read all about it.
This is the Daily
Daps and Hooks. Give me daps, because I'll be scribbling right.
Give me dabbing up daps and bound daps.
All right, Daily Dap time. We shall start with MG, my guy, Marcus Grant. What you got?
Well, I guess I should Daily Dap this Run P app because you guys didn't know about this.
I was going to dap you for bringing this up because I don't think that we gave enough attention to this.
So it is an app you can download on your phone, and then, you know, when you go to a movie, you start the app as the movie begins, and it will sort of buzz in your pocket whenever you get to a spot in the film where you're not going to miss anything significant, any significant plot points or anything like that.
I see.
It allows you to get up and go pee.
Okay.
So
I like that.
That was kind of an impromptu Daily Dap.
Yes. Do you have anything planned?
I do. Okay. I have one. One of my new favorite Twitter accounts is, and now I lost it. Oh, it's called Craigslist Love. That's it. I mean, so it's people posting on Craigslist they're written up anonymously.
Okay.
But, for instance, let's see. I'm tons of fun sober, but oh man, am I even more fun tipsy? I like Snapchatting pictures of my double chin.
What?
What?
Looking to find a new friend to let me do some laundry. I mean, this thing is kind of amazing.
That reminds me of a segment back in one of the radio stations in Milwaukee when I lived there used to do it called Missed Connections, which is also a thing on Craigslist that they would go find. But these would be like missives that people would write, and they'd always play the Lionel Richie "Hello, Is It Me You're Looking For" song underneath it. But it'd be like, "Hey, like, I was at the, you know, the Mayfair Mall, and I was getting a coffee, and I saw you leaving the Cinnabon. We made eye contact, and I could have swore there was a deep connection. You were wearing, like, a red jacket with a My Little Pony backpack. So, like, if you find this, you know, please email me or whatever." And, like, they'd be the most ridiculous things, it's but great. It was so funny.
Apparently, this Craigslist love also seems to have a thing for Michelle Branch, the singer. I don't really know why.
Oh, word!
There are several tweets to.
Oh my God! What's that one Michelle Branch song that was popular?
Everywhere.
Is that what it was?
Everywhere to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I always felt like
that was an Erica assist back here. Yes. She's already coming up big behind
Call
the glass.
Me maybe.
Didn't she also did
Carly Rae Jepsen broke.
Come on.
She also did a duet with Santana. If I'm that.
Yes.
Relax. I was.
I also felt like she and Vanessa Carlton were kind of interchanging.
Shake it off
or whatever. Finally, my last daily dap is happy birthday, Pop. My dad's birthday.
Aww. Aww.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Pop.
There you go. All right. Franchise, hit me.
All right. I went to a little Capitol Records party last night because my fiance still works there.
Humble brag.
Yeah, bud.
Yeah, so I'm going to do a little bit of bragging because it was lit. Yeah.
You going to drop some names, bro?
Yeah, I'm going to drop some names. So I met one of my favorite female singer-songwriters. Her name is Maggie Rogers.
Maggie Rogers.
You guys might not know about her.
It wasn't Michelle Branch?
No.
Or Vanessa Carlton.
Her big song is Alaska. She did this program at NYU, this music program that Pharrell came and sat in on and was like, she was like a student, and he was listening to all the songs that they produced in this class, and her song made him cry. And that's kind of how she got recognized. He was like, "I wouldn't change anything in this song. The song's amazing. You're going to be great." Now she's signed to Capitol Records. And I was just waiting in line at the bar. And I was like kind of on the lookout because I thought she might be there. And she was just in front of me like ordering a drink. And I was like,
"What's your order?"
She got a bunch of drinks for, I think, a group of people. I think she specifically got a whiskey ginger.
Oh,
good choice.
But I tapped her on the shoulder and I said, "Maggie, I'm a big fan of your music." And she turned around and was like, "What's your name?" Shook my hand. Yeah. And I was like, "Oh my God, my heart was beating." And then later, so that was cool, I met Maggie Rogers. MC Hammer was there.
Mick Hammer?
Yes. And I met him and I got a selfie with MC Hammer. And I was like, "Yo," there was a bunch of food trucks. I was like, "Have you got the food?" And
is it on
like,
the gram?
It's on Twitter and the gram, my selfie with MC Hammer. And he was like, "Oh, I'm a vegan." And I was like, "There's sweet potato tacos at their truck, and they're delicious." And he's like, "Oh, I just had some sweet potatoes before I got here." I was like, "Yeah, sick conversation. Let's get a selfie." And that was it. I met MC Hammer.
Why are you guys both talking like your characters on Saturday Night Live?
I don't know.
I wish I would have been there to meet Mick Hammer.
But, I mean, he was so cool. There was, like, a 15-minute period where people were just walking up to him, getting pictures, and he just, like...
He wasn't wearing Hammer pants, was he?
He was wearing very baggy sweatpants.
Hammer pants.
I was... Because we were like, are they the parachute pants? I don't know.
Are
they were
joggers?
Like, kinda... They weren't. They were too baggy to be joggers.
Okay.
So LA of you to be at this industry party.
But he had
rubbing elbows with Nick Hammer and I mean, your musical idol.
Yeah, man. And it was
funny when you hear it.
I'm just going to call him Mick Hammer.
It was awesome. It was cool. It was a very cool night. So you can check out the selfie on Twitter. So daps to Capitol Records, MC Hammer, and Maggie Rogers.
I absolutely love it. WizKid from Wisconsin, what you got?
I got a dap the Hard Knocks premiere. Harmon and I watched it last night. Yeah. And it was already, like, I don't want to disparage the previous season, but this episode was already 1,000 times better than last season.
You can disparage it. We know it. It wasn't a good season.
Agreed.
But, like, just the personalities and the storylines around the Bucks, you know, they're a team that's kind of on the cusp.
Yeah.
They've got this young quarterback who's played pretty well, but he's got to step it up, and he's got a lot more responsibility. D-Jax is there, Gerald McCoy, all the random guys on the periphery. So I just really dug it. It was a great start. It set up a lot of stuff. I can't wait to watch play out through training camp. And it was typically shot just gorgeously by guys at NFL Films. So.
That's funny. I was going to daily dap the exact same thing. But between Jameis and D-Jax, I mean, The Rams didn't have any players.
They did not.
Like, I mean, like, you know what I'm saying?
They had Jeff Fisher.
Their coach had such a huge personality.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Like their best like kind of personality was Aaron Donald, and you know, I mean, like the Bucks have that with an interior D line with Gerald McCoy, but like he doesn't have to carry the whole show.
That's
so.
What I'm saying. But between, I mean, the whole like 5 minute intro with Jameis Winston
at his house,
so
that
funny.
That was great.
Was it like it's like Crocodile Dundee with roaches.
Awesome. Yeah, yeah.
It is awesome.
When
man.
He's just got like I was talking about with Harmon, like Jameis just has that it factor.
He's
as,
so
like,
impressive.
A QB and yeah. like a leader, like he's got that natural charisma.
Yeah.
He does.
That like even when and oh man, when the rookies were singing their songs too, like that was hilarious.
Yeah, it was great. It was a great first episode, a great first initial offering.
And then the other thing I'm gonna daily dap is the return of football.
Yeah.
But Premier League football comes back this weekend. Wow, get out of here.
I was a little switcheroo there.
Yeah, of course. I had to mix it up on people.
I was gonna dap the same thing because Arsenal kicks off.
Yep. You play on Friday, tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow, 7:45 Pacific.
When did you become a soccer fan?
Bro, I'm all about
Are you prepared for another season of disappointment with Arsenal?
Bro, I'm a Bears fan, so I guess
But the Premier League returns this weekend. NBC Sports has a lot of great coverage. If you've ever been interested in watching it, you can stream most of their games, and they cover it all Saturday morning and stuff. So, as I said, depending on how when we come back from the K-Town Throwdown, I may just be staying up all night to watch Liverpool because they play at 4:30 in the morning Pacific time on Saturday.
Buddy.
Ouch.
Brutal.
We got K-Town Throwdown Part 2.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't going to dap it until Monday because who knows if we'll survive or what will happen.
It could be terrible.
Could be awful.
You Foreshadowing.
Know? You never know.
You never know.
Why is daily dapping now? Adam Rank, what you got?
I'm going to start with the building air conditioning. I'm going to adapt that because for the previous 3 weeks, it's been super hot, like aggressively hot for even me.
Well, not to mention the fact that it has been the most humid that any humid place has ever humidated ever.
It was like Florida. Like people are walking around with swamp crotch and everything.
Also, it's not like – don't want to make this seem like it's a first world problem to the listeners, but our office is just a concrete box.
Yeah.
It's with thousands of people in it. So if there's no AC, it's basically just a convection oven for 8 or 9 hours a day while you're sitting inside it.
And instead of air flowing through there, it's just BO.
Just BO.
Yep. Pretty much. This building was a parking structure. For when it was first built, that they made into offices.
Great.
So it's not great. And then they overcorrected it now.
Oh my
now
God.
It's like Ice
it's
Planet
freezing.
Hoth.
I love it.
Like there's a tauntaun.
I love it too.
We have a tauntaun downstairs that I use for warmth.
I thought those things smelled bad on the outside.
By the way, Rank, have you ever seen the tauntaun sleeping bags? They actually make those. You should get one for Ahsoka.
Cool. Ahsoka.
That's
smart. She needs to have
You just zip it up and it looks like you're Tauntaun.
I have to, I have to return some of her birthday presents, so I'll put that on the list.
There we go.
Perfect. People not buying books. Like, come on, buy a book for her. Like, she doesn't need another toy. Like, people, why? I don't know. Anyways.
Okay.
I did, so I was going to dap the Arsenal, but Alex talked about the Players Weekend jerseys. That MLB will be
Oh, those are
going to
be fun.
Those are cool. Like, they look ridiculous. They look like softball league jerseys.
Well, I think the plan is to make them look like Little League jerseys.
Little League.
I think that was the idea.
Okay. Like, if you're buying a jersey at Marshall's that wasn't officially licensed for MLB, that's what they look like.
Right.
But the cool thing is everybody has a nickname on the back. And Kyle Seager of the Seattle whatevers.
Mariners?
Who cares? Nobody likes them. His nickname is Corey's brother.
Oh man,
Corey is his brother who plays for the LA Dodgers.
That's fantastic.
Who you've never seen here in Los Angeles?
So who
not on TV?
Is it fans that gave him the nicknames? Or
no.
The players got to pick their own.
There's a lot of inside jokes. It feels like
okay.
When you start looking through, and the one that stood out to me is that you're like, well, Andrelton Simmons, the hipster MVP of this season. You're like, he's gonna have to have Simba on the back.
What did he put on the back?
Simone. People are speculating that Disney was like, no, you can't do it. Like, Simba means lion.
Which is also sort of sour grapes since Disney owned the club for a while.
A little bit, yeah. They're a little
That's probably
little
why.
Hurt.
They put the ixnay on that. They're like, oh, you want some of this?
Syndergaard can have Thor, but nobody else.
I'm not going to lie. I love these hats looking at it, but why did the Brewers not go with the old MB Glove logo? Yeah. That would look so good on
they
this all-yellow hat. Like, just go back
time.
To it,
I
Brewers.
Agree. That should
just
be all the
best
time.
Best logo
anyway.
In sports.
That really was a dapper logo. Like, I really like that one. Even for a Milwaukee team. Like, it was pretty sweet.
If anyone who designs hats is listening, I want one of those hats, but with, like, real leather on the glove part.
That would be cool. I mean, of course, I say this, but I can't wear hats because of this stupid gigantic head. But.
Honestly, James, that feels like a Mitchell and Ness sort of thing.
Mitchell and Ness are the people at 47 brand.
That sounds pretty good, right?
New era. Anybody who's listening. Okay.
What else you got,
take
pal?
Take heed. The Angels on their getaway day to Seattle to go play the whoever's. They all wore NBA uniforms.
NBA uniforms?
Yeah. Okay. So they're all dressed up, which was, I'm hoping, I know this isn't why they were doing it, but I'm hoping that they were doing that going to Seattle because they don't have a basketball team. And it was just
a troll.
It would have been greater if they're all wearing Oklahoma Thunder uniforms. Like, that would have been hilarious.
That would have been a legendary troll move.
I like to believe that that was part of the reasoning behind it. And of course, my buddy Tyler Skaggs, rocking the Jerry West.
Good.
Which was super awesome.
Okay.
I would like to dab the game of backgammon.
Backgammon?
Which, yeah, Franchise and Harmon are trying to bring it back. It's the new hipster
this
creation.
This is fake news.
This is.
I don't even know how to play.
I know. They're going to go to their
fake
tasting.
Fake news.
They're going to go to their tasting rooms and start playing backgammon.
I will.
You see it?
Yes, I will.
I don't even know how that game works. I don't know anything about it other than what it looks like when you walk by it in the toy
store. Other than the fact that Franchise and Harmon are trying to bring it back.
It just seems. I'm trying to get them to bring it back.
No.
They've been trying.
They've been playing.
Right.
I know.
Yeah.
They're secretly playing it.
It's already too mainstream.
What is this? You guys have this narrative between yourselves. Like, what's going on here?
You're the hipsteriest hipster whoever hipped.
Oh, obviously,
you
got made as a hipster, bro.
Some girl massaged your.
Now look at me.
You know.
Now look at me. Yeah, I'm nothing.
You're hanging out with Mick Hammer.
Yeah.
And Melissa Etheridge at industry
Melissa Etheridge.
That
would not make me hipster.
The show has gone silent.
That would not make me hipster.
You and Katie Lang were having whiskey gingers.
Amy Grant.
Yes.
Amy All Grant's a good pull, too. All right, why don't you...
Wait, hold on. The K-Town Throwdown.
What? Okay.
I will not be able to attend.
I
long time ago had already put in my request for a night off to go see the NXT brand of the WWE. It's the developmental brand.
Yes.
And anybody who's into fantasy sports knows that one of the stars of NXT, Eric Young, is a huge fantasy football
huge.
Nerd. Loves fantasy. He was able to come by, hang out with us, and then we went to the show last night.
Dude's got some
guns. He's pretty good. Like, he's a good wrestler. It's a good product. It's a lot of fun. It's people. Anybody who goes to these matches loves wrestling. They have to buy. You can only watch it on the WWE app. Mm-hmm. So you don't get a lot of posers who just want to go and take pictures and be like, hey, look, I'm at Raw. I look cool. No, you're a serious wrestling fan.
That's kind of a team move because that's what I did.
You did. I know. That was looking right at you when I said it.
No, you did.
I was actually thinking of Akbar.
Okay.
It's a very Akbar thing to do. No, because Akbar was on Raw one night, which was very – I mean, I understand it was for American Ninja Warrior.
Look at your eyes turn green because you just got so jelly.
You know what?
Look
at you. I'm not jealous because after the show, Eric texted me,
and
he goes, hey, are you still around? And we're like, yeah, we're still here. He's like, hey, come down to the doors down here.
Beautiful.
I'll take you backstage. So we went backstage and we're meeting. Like, Bobby Roode, who was in the main event, was just walking by, and Eric's like, hey, meet my friends, and shook hands with Bobby Roode. Hands still sweaty from the match. Normally I would be grossed out, but I'm like, dude.
That's awesome.
Never washes his hand again.
This is glorious.
That's pretty dope.
And if you're a wrestling fan, you're marking out right now because you're like, oh my God, I get where that reference is. Met a bunch of the dudes. They were super cool. What was fun is, like, Bobby Roode, Eric. Like, those are veterans. Like, they've been around. They know the game.
Yeah.
But all the young dudes, so cool. Like, very approachable, very, like, genuinely thanking us. Like, hey, thanks for coming to the show. We appreciate it. Did you have a good time? And, like, was like, oh, cool. Like, these guys are they're good ambassadors for it. So it's a lot of fun. But unfortunately, because I was out Wednesday, just the thought of even going and being like, hey, I need to go out Friday night to K-Town. Is going to be like,
you got to pick and choose those battles.
We're going to have veto powers, plus the baby, I think.
Yeah, I know, I got
little
you.
Little Ahsoka.
Yeah, I had to get special permission as well, so there you go. All right, so that's your show. I wanted to, again, remind folks about the Listener League subscribe, rate, review. Obviously, go to NFL.com/fantasy. Oh, my gosh, there's one other thing I want to talk about. Oh, next week, I'm super excited because I really want to delve deep into sleepers.
Yes.
So next week, both episodes will be dedicated solely to sleepers. I mean, we'll get your top headlines and do those things too, but we're going to – I mean, we are going to hit you with more sleepers than you know what to do with, man.
Whoa.
It's going to be a sleeper spectacular. It's going to be next week.
We're just going to name every player in the NFL.
Here are the sleepers in the NFC North. Aaron Rodgers, Jordy Nelson, Amir Abdullah, Olden Tate.
Orleans Darkwa.
It's going to be dope, man. I'm telling you. People love sleepers, and we're going to give it to you.
Sleeper.
If you want to dominate your league, you're going to want to listen to the next two episodes next week. It's going to be good. So, and I know we never ever talk about football at the end of these podcasts, but you know what?
Hey, sometimes you got to hang around. We broke news that one time.
Here we are. Let's go. For the WizKid from Wisconsin, Alex Gilhar, MG Mike, I'm Marcus Grant, the Magical Beard of Fantasy, Matt Franciscovich, and Adam Rank. I'm James Cole. We're out.
See you later.
I'd say like romper room, you know, when Miss Nancy would like stand there and like look in her magic mirror and be like, and I see Billy and Stacy. And I was like, I'm sitting in front of the TV. How do you not see me? Like, I was always so confused by that as a kid. Like, how do you not? I'm right here. Nancy, I'm right here.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on.